There is nothing like your love. No exchange for all you gave.
We thank God for the year 2016. The year 2016 is a year of great expectation. I believe God has got great things for his people to accomplish. God is a good God. Whenever we start the year, just like the dew comes in the morning, it comes to refresh. And as we've stepped into the year 2016, I believe God has got something wonderful for his people to achieve. Our God is a big God. He's a God who's always dreaming. You know, he's a God who's always doing new things. So 2016, I see the church doing new things. I see the church go up. It's like the challenge God gave to Haggai. To the prophet Haggai, to the people of Israel, after they've come from Babylon to rebuild the temple of the Lord that was broken down. And you know what? God challenged them. He said, leave whatever you're doing. You know, you've made your businesses your priority. You've made your homes your priority. But listen, my house is in ruins. But I want you to do something. Go up the mount and bring wood. Build a house and I'll take what pleasure in it. And when you do that, you know, I'm going to bless you. Can you look at your lives now? You've been putting other things, you know, before me. And as a result, you're not getting the benefits that you ought to get. But now, this I want to show you a strategy, the way to really making it big in God. Put me first. As you build up my house the way it ought to be, I'll come and take pleasure in it. The house of God is the church of God, and you also are the house of God. God wants you to rise up in him. God wants you to get to that place of spiritual excellence. Everything we do for God in the kingdom of God starts from a foundation of what? Of having a good relationship with the Lord. We can't do anything for God when our foundation in Christ is not right. And so start 2016 with this in mind. I want to go up in the Lord. I want to ascend in the Lord. Like Psalm 15 also says, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? I want to walk right with God. I want this kind of spiritual excellence in my life. I want this foundation. And again, as I'm saying this to you, there's a scripture I read today. It's about a king, Jehoshaphat. When his father Asa died and he became the king of Judah, the Bible says that he put God first. He sought God. He didn't do after Israel. When Israel went after idols and were worshiping idols, no, that wasn't Jehoshaphat's vision. His vision was to make God number one. When he made God number one, the Bible says that God strengthened his position as king. The kingdom was established in his hands. And the Bible goes on to say something about Jehoshaphat that really touches my heart. He says that his heart was lifted in the ways of God. Usually when you talk about the heart being lifted, we always allude it to pride. But here, his heart was lifted in the ways of God, which means he was really passionate for God. Church, if we're going to do anything for God, make an impact, you know, in our generation, our foundation must be right. It must be spiritual excellence, putting God first, our prayer life, seeking the Lord, ensuring that whatever we do brings glory and honor to God. When we do that, then the presence of God is going to come, and the presence of God is going to bless anything that you and I are seeking to do, whether in our personal lives or whether in the kingdom of God. But never forget this. Put God first. Make God number one in the year 2016. The other thing about Jehoshaphat that really touched me was this. The Bible says he got the priests, he got the princes, and he got the Levites to take the law of the Lord and to teach all Israel. Can you believe that? You see, we are able to make it when we make the word of God our foundation. You must go for the word of God. Put God's word in your spirit. Put God's word in your heart. Eat the word and see God bless you. The Bible says when he did that, when he taught he commanded the princes and the Levites to teach the law of God in Judah and in all the cities of Judah. The Bible says the fear of the Lord fell upon all their neighbors. In fact, they were so afraid of him. His enemies brought him presents. You know, they made alliances with him. And the Bible says the Lord brought a lot of business into Judah. Why? And he built palaces. He did things. He built castles. He did things that you know, in his own strength, he would not have been able to do. 2016 is a year for you to go up, child of God. And you can only go up when you make God number one and you make him your foundation and you stay in the word of God. And my challenge to you is that there are greater things yet to be done in the city of our God. As we look around us, many are lost. They haven't heard the good news of the kingdom. And we have this treasure of God's word, you know, in us. Rise up in God. And God, let God use you to be a light that is shining in this dark world, to make a difference in your generation. I've written a book, and the title of the book is The King's Daughter. It's an exposition of Psalm 45. You know, for me, when I read that psalm, I see something incredible there. It's about the ministry of women. I see women in God's end time agenda of soul winning, and how these women are standing by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the psalmist who wrote this psalm, that's David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, inspires the women or challenges the women to rise to that place of spiritual excellence in God. Learn about God. Prepare themselves for God. Be a people of vision, a people of focus. Women who understand the plan of God and are willing to give their heart, their lives, they allow the Lord to mold their nature, their character, so that they will come out as gold in the presence of the Lord and attract many people who do not know Christ unto Him. It's very simple and very easy to read and straight to the point. The Lord wants to beautify His daughters so that we can serve Him in the way that He wants us to serve Him. The King's Daughter is a must for each and every woman aspiring to be used by God. So why don't you visit our website or call the number on the screen, and then you can order a copy. And I believe that the Lord will use this book to revive your spirit man, your inner man, that you can be a vessel that God can use in this end time of reaping the harvest of lost souls into the kingdom of God. May the Lord richly bless you. Don't settle for less. Greater things are yet to be done in the city of our God in the year 2016. God richly bless you. Amen.
There is nothing like your love, no exchange for all you gave.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for bringing us into the year 2016. I believe 2016 is an exciting year for the body of Christ. There's so much God will have us do. And we just need to be prepared for the surprise that God has in store for us. I believe that God wants us to go up in Him, because it's only when we are up in God, we are truly connected to Him as we ought to, that the light that is in Him flows into us so that we can achieve so much for the Lord. I believe that this year is a year where we'll see our dreams fulfilled. God has got dreams for His children to fulfill. He's a big God. He's a great God. When you look at the life of the Israelites, for instance, in Genesis chapter 49, we see before Jacob died, he blessed his sons and he prophesied their future. He spoke into their lives as to what they would do, or God, what God has in store for them. That is vision. God has got a vision for each and every one of us. We've got to know it and we've got to fulfill it. In Deuteronomy 33 also, we see that Moses, the servant of the Lord, also blessed Israel concerning Israel's future. Each tribe was given a premonition or a foreword as to what they would do for God as God was sending them into the promised land. And I believe that in the year 2016 also, the visions and the plans that we have in our spirits, by the grace of God, we are going to see those dreams fulfilled as we position ourselves. The first thing I want to talk about is spiritual excellence. For each and every one of us to do anything for God, we need to be rightly connected with God. Jesus said, "What I'm the vine and you are the branches." So long as we're truly connected to God, the light that is in God will naturally flow into us. When a tree or a branch is cut off, it cannot receive the sap that it needs to cause it to continue to flourish. It withers. Jesus is the source. God is the source of our success. God is the source of our dream. God is the source of our vision. And so long as you and I are connected to God, we'll be able to fulfill the dreams and the visions that God has for us. And how are we going to stay connected to God? We've got to prioritize. Make God number one. When you make God number one in your prayer life, you make God number one in wanting to please Him in all that you do, then you invite the presence of God into your life and you see the hand of God over your life and you see your life flourishing. I want us to quickly read Psalm 15, which talks about ascending the hill of the Lord. I'm talking about us rising up to the place that God has destined for His people to be. God doesn't want us to remain mediocre. He wants us to be achievers. And especially when we look at the times that we're living in, we're living at the last dispensation before Christ comes. And you read Exodus chapter 16, God gives us a revelation there. He says, gather double on a sixth day. And I believe the church is living on a sixth day. So we need to gather double. We need to gather double momentum, double strength, double anointing, double of everything that is in God. But we have to stay connected to God, that the power that is in God will flow naturally into us so that we can achieve the purposes of God. In Psalm 15, he says, Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Or who shall dwell in your holy hill? That's a place of exaltation. That's a place of excellence. That's a place where God would have us be. The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above principalities and powers. But many times we kind of condescend. We don't stay connected. We don't stay where God has called us to be. Why? Because of the choices that we make. And so it affects our ability to be productive. It affects our ability to see the fullness of the vision or the mission God has put in our spirits, you know, come to pass. There are, you know, numerous examples in the Bible. A man like Jehoshaphat is one who sought the Lord and made God number one. And so he excelled. You see another person, Uzziah, and I like what the scripture says. It says, so long as he sought the Lord caused him to prosper. We're looking at fulfilling vision. We're looking at going up. We're looking at, you know, ascending the mount of the Lord. We're looking at going up there to get what we need to get, to build God, our sanctuary, to build our businesses, to see ourselves going high. What do we need to do? We really need to connect with the Lord. So the psalmist is asking us, who shall abide in your tabernacle and who shall dwell in your holy hill? That's a place of promotion, a place of exaltation, you know, where you are in tune with God, where you can draw, you know, the supply from the Lord, where you are not restricted because you are at a place of excellence. So that which is in God naturally flows into you and that you can, you know, release it. And he says, he that walks uprightly. So that is our challenge. We've got to walk right. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, who is our helper. You know, so long as we engage the Holy Spirit, that is having a disciplined prayer life, getting into the Word, you know, maximizing, you know, the opportunities God gives us, especially in spending time with Him and, you know, taking into our spirit all that God gives us. If we're able to take God into our being, you know, we'll find ourselves walking on a path that is ordained as to walk. We have the Holy Spirit by all means, but you know, there is a measure to which one can be filled. And the measure to which one is filled determines how you are able to, the degree to which you manifest God. So he says, he that walks uprightly, thank God for the Holy Spirit, his presence in us helps us, you know, to walk right with the Lord. And so that's going to be our focus. You know, we've got to make up your mind that you're going to walk right with the Lord. You're not going to cut corners, you know, you're not going to compromise, you're not going to do things that will please the flesh, you know, more than pleasing the Spirit. So we've got to make up our minds that in the year 2016, as the Lord is calling us up, as he called the church in Haggai 1:8 to go up, we are going to go up as we make this conscious decision to walk right with the Lord. And the one, and he goes on to say, he that works righteousness. And so it's a choice. We can choose to do right or wrong. Remember Israel, God said, I've set before you life and death. Choose life. And so we have a choice. Even though we're born again, it doesn't mean that we'll naturally do the things that God tells us to do. It's only when we feed on the Word, it's only when we commune with the Lord that our spirits become in tune with God. And so it's easy for us to make the right decisions and the right choices. And so again, it's our connection with the Holy Spirit, our acknowledgement of Him, depending on on him and allowing him, you know, to see us through so that we can work the kind of works that God wants us to work, the works of righteousness. And he says, and he that speaks truth in his heart, you can't be a believer and you can't ascend the hill of the Lord. You can't say that, yeah, you're going to do great things for God when you're not walking in truth. You know, the Bible says when the Holy Spirit is come, he will lead us into all truth. He's the one who leads us into truth. And so once we have the Holy Spirit or we are aspiring to walk with the Lord, we must make it our aim to speak the truth, not, you know, compromise, not lie here and there and expect that God will promote us. No, that is not the will of God. He says, and he that backbiteth not with his tongue. We've got to watch our tongue. Our tongues are meant to be tongues that will bless, that will speak the words of life. And, you know, we have the... We naturally find ourselves every now and then, you know, backsliding, going into the flesh. But we're reading the word as an antidote that would help us, you know, to stay in tune with God so we don't backslide. So he's saying to us, he that backbiteth not, speaking behind somebody, something that we must watch out. God hates that. If we're going to ascend the hill of the Lord, if we're going to do great things for God, we've got to watch out. You know, these things may seem trivial, but the Bible says it's the little foxes what that destroy the vine. So we've got to watch our mouth, what we say and what we say about others. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor. As born-again Christians, you know, our portion is not to do evil. Our portion is to do right. And so the Bible says that the one who is going to ascend and abide in that place of excellence will be the one who walks uprightly, the one who works righteousness, the one who speaks truth in his heart, the one who does not abide with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. He continues to say that in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that feareth the Lord. And so God will honor us as we fear him. We don't backbite. We don't take a reproach or hatred in our hearts against our neighbors. You know, we don't agree with people who are vile, or we don't partake, you know, of things that do not bring glory to God, but we eschew from evil. And he says, when we do that, the Lord will honor us. And he says, one who swears to his own head and does not change. How many times have we made promises and broken them? And let's make it our aim that in the year 2016, we're going to remain faithful. If you know you can't honor your word, don't make a promise. So he says, he that swears to his own head and does not change. So we remain constant, consistently what? Constant, being faithful and committed to the Lord. And he that puts not out his money to usury or charge excessively, take interest when you lend money to your brother. I believe that in this case, God is talking about how we relate to our brothers who may be in need. And then when they come to us and we lend them money, God doesn't want us to take usury. It's not a business. When, you know, he wants us to treat our fellow brothers and sisters, you know, right. So he says, he that puts not out his money to usury, nor takes reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. We are talking about spiritual excellence, moving up and making sure that we're able to fulfill our destinies or able to fulfill the visions that God has placed in our hearts.
Your love, no exchange for all you gave.
We are awakened to our destiny as individuals and as a body of Christ. We don't need to go into captivity to discover our destinies. We don't need to go into captivity to understand God. We don't need to go into captivity to understand the big plan that God has and he wants to use our lives to fulfill. No, we don't need to go into captivity. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus that in the realm of the Spirit, God will give us an anointing, an eye-opening anointing. Our eyes and our spirit man will be open to what God us to do as individuals and as a church. The Spirit of God
gather today praying for the nations and desiring gospel to be fulfilled on earth, we know that there is a corresponding force, and this agenda is to push back the kingdom of God. We are not ignorant of his devices. So you are praying in the mighty name of Jesus that you will be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That God will cause you not to be outwitted by the enemy, but by virtue of the giftings he has placed within us and in the body, we will identify our place. And the anointing of God will be so strong, you will stand in your position and not be moved. especially when there are prophetic meetings. Because during the time of prayer, there is something that is released. A grace that combats that which our own effort cannot do. There's a divine grace that is released. And this thing is a serious thing. It's not something you just touch and leave. But God helps us when we are under that unction. There's a grace that is released that cuts through and accelerates us. Because the dynamics are obscure. It is not obvious to the physical eye. And if the mind or the spiritual mind is untrained, one cannot discern or diagnose the operations in the spiritual realm. And that is why God makes certain gifts available. So when we are praying and operating under this, there's a grace that God releases. This evening we're praying that that grace of God will continue. I sense it rising. Rising. We must take it by force. There are things that prophet used to say, you gotta push. You gotta take it by force, and destiny must be taken. Those children's destiny must be taken.